Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcisse Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Dying Peace by Jana Petkin continues the series, The Man from MI5, expanding a wartime intelligence world where personal loyalties and national survival collide. Positioned as Book 2, it builds on the premise of British Secret Service operations during Second World War, drawing readers into the uneasy space between official policy and covert necessity. The title suggests a fragile calm that cannot last, and the novel leans into that tension, exploring how peace initiatives, ceasefires, or diplomatic maneuvers can become battlegrounds of deception. Petkin is known for historically grounded storytelling, and this installment uses the machinery of espionage to illuminate the human costs of secrecy, sacrifice, and divided allegiance. Readers can expect a fast-moving plot shaped by mission pressure, surveillance, and moral compromise, while maintaining a strong sense of period detail. The result is a thriller that treats intelligence work as both strategy and tragedy, where every success carries consequences and every relationship can be leveraged or lost. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, espionage in a world where peace is a weapon. A central idea in The Dying Peace is that peace can be as dangerous as open conflict when intelligence services suspect that negotiation, neutrality, or compromise may be exploited. Instead of treating diplomacy as a background event, the story frames it as an active battlefield for MI5-style counterintelligence. In this kind of narrative, the most threatening moves are often quiet, a meeting that should not happen, a message that arrives too cleanly, a sudden offer of cooperation, or an informant who appears at the perfect moment. The book uses the logic of tradecraft to show how wartime services look for patterns, motives, and hidden sponsors behind every olive branch. This approach creates tension because characters must decide whether apparent opportunities are genuine openings or engineered traps. It also highlights a key reality of intelligence work: certainty is rare, and decisions are made with incomplete information. By focusing on the instability of so-called peace, the novel explores how hopes for resolution can be manipulated, turning human longing into operational leverage and making the path to safety feel narrower with every step. The Man from MI5 and the Burden of Split Loyalties. As a series centered on a man tied to MI5, the book emphasizes the pressure that comes with carrying secrets and living between identities. The protagonist is not only tasked with pursuing objectives, but also with protecting networks, handling sources, and maintaining operational cover. These demands naturally create divided loyalties to country, to colleagues, to loved ones, and to personal ethics. The narrative tension comes from the way intelligence work forces characters to prioritize outcomes over comfort. Small compromises accumulate, and even when a choice feels justified in the moment, it can echo later as regret or fallout. The Dying Peace uses these dilemmas to move beyond a simple good versus evil framing. It examines how a person can remain patriotic yet question directives, how trust can coexist with suspicion, and how duty can damage intimacy. This theme also fuels character development because the most consequential moments are rarely shootouts or chases. They are decisions about who gets told the truth, who gets protected, and who gets used. And the cat and mouse game, the plot dynamics in a wartime MI5 thriller depend on the mechanics of tradecraft surveillance, coded communication, dead drops, vetted contacts, and the careful use of misinformation. The Dying Peace draws suspense from the idea that every action can be observed and every signal can be intercepted. Counterintelligence adds an additional layer because the enemy is not always outside the organization. It can be inside the chain of communication, within a partner agency, or embedded in civilian life. This creates a cat and mouse structure where the hunter can become the hunted with one mistake. The book leans on the tension of verification. How do you confirm an identity, validate a tip, or distinguish a real defector from a planted asset? Even practical elements such as travel, documentation, and ration era constraints can become operational obstacles that tighten the net. These details matter because they shape the plausibility of the suspense. Readers are invited to think like analysts, noticing timing, incentives, and inconsistencies. The topic highlights how intelligence stories are driven less by brute force and more by patience, misdirection, and the ability to interpret human behavior under stress. Fourthly, wartime atmosphere and the civilian cost of secrecy. Beyond missions and briefings, the novel emphasizes the environment of a society under strain. Wartime settings bring constant uncertainty, disrupted routines, scarcity, fear of infiltration, and the knowledge that ordinary places can become targets. This atmosphere influences how characters speak, what they risk, and how quickly trust can fray. The Dying Peace uses that backdrop to explore how secrecy affects not only operatives, but also families, friends, and communities that become collateral in intelligence struggles. Civilians may be asked to provide information, offer shelter, or look the other way, often without understanding the stakes. Meanwhile, operatives must compartmentalize, withholding truth to protect operations, which can unintentionally harm relationships and mental health. the theme underscores a paradox: intelligence aims to protect the public, yet its methods can endanger individuals in the short term. By showing the civilian cost, the book adds emotional weight and helps readers feel the scale of conflict beyond maps and strategy. It also strengthens the realism of the story, reminding us that every covert decision has a human footprint, even when the paperwork and official records stay silent. Lastly, moral ambiguity, sacrifice, and the price of victory. A defining topic in The Dying Peace is moral ambiguity, the recognition that in war, the clean option may not exist. Intelligence work frequently demands choices that would be unacceptable in peacetime, and the novel explores how characters rationalize actions taken for a perceived greater good. Sacrifice appears in multiple forms, from risking life and reputation to abandoning personal happiness, or allowing an unjust outcome to prevent a larger catastrophe. The title itself hints at endings that are bittersweet, suggesting that even when a mission succeeds, the resulting peace may be damaged, partial, or temporary. This theme elevates the story from procedural suspense to ethical drama. Readers are prompted to consider whether security can be won without moral erosion, and what happens to individuals who repeatedly cross their own boundaries. The narrative stakes become more personal when the cost is not just the loss of a battle, but the loss of innocence, trust, and identity. By treating victory as complicated rather than triumphant, the book aligns with the best espionage fiction traditions, where consequences matter, motives are mixed, and the line between protector and manipulator is never completely stable. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy WWWA-era espionage, MI5-centered intrigue, and character-driven thrillers where tension comes from both external threats and internal compromise. If you like stories that combine covert operations with emotional stakes, The Dying Peace offers a compelling mix of tradecraft, atmosphere, and difficult choices. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening an appreciation for critical thinking under uncertainty, the way information can be incomplete, motives can be disguised, and decisions still must be made. It also invites reflection on loyalty, integrity, and the hidden costs of protecting others, themes that resonate beyond the historical setting. Compared to similar spy novels, the value here lies in the blend of historical grounding and personal consequence. Rather than relying only on action, the story emphasizes suspicion, verification, and the slow pressure of living with secrets. As Book 2 in The Man from MI5, it also rewards readers who want continuity, deeper character investment, and an expanding web of relationships and risks. If you are looking for a wartime spy novel that treats peace itself as a dangerous arena and keeps moral questions close to the surface, this is a worthwhile buy. If you would like to support Jana Petkin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.